Usually, when you think of a government compliance manual, you imagine, well, the most dry, bureaucratic reading possible. But the stack of sources we are taking a deep dive into today, specifically the recently declassified minimum information security standards from the South African government, I mean, it actually reads like an instruction guide for real-world spycraft.
Yeah, it really does. And it is kind of wild when you first look at it.
Right. So, okay, let's unpack this. How does a transparent, open democracy justify keeping all these intense secrets from you, the public?
Well, I mean, that is the central tension of modern governance, right? You might naturally wonder why a society built on openness needs locked vaults.
Exactly.
But you cannot govern effectively if your state's vulnerabilities are completely exposed. Transparency is vital, sure, but information that hostile elements could exploit requires absolute protection just to ensure responsible governance and, you know, keep the lights on.
Which makes sense. I mean, you obviously don't protect the everyday paperwork the same way you protect, say, the nuclear codes.
No, definitely not. So the manual tackles that triage by establishing four strict levels of classification.
Right, because not all secrets are equal.
Exactly. The first is restricted, which covers things where a leak just hampers everyday administrative activities. Then confidential steps up to actual harm against state objectives.
Okay, so a step up.
Yeah. Then secret involves compromising state functions or directly endangering a life. And finally, top secret is the absolute ceiling. A leak there neutralizes state functions, severs diplomatic relations, or triggers a declaration of war.
Wow. So top secret is literally World War III. Think of it like corporate security for you listening. Like, restricted means a competitor knows your cafeteria menu. But top secret means they have the administrative passwords to your entire banking system and can bankrupt you in 10 seconds.
That is a great way to put it. And because top secret means a potential state failure, the physical security rules to prevent that are obsessively specific.
Well, my mind immediately goes to the weakest link, right? The mailroom. Like, if you are the official task with moving a top secret document, how do you physically transport it without someone just steaming the envelope open or snapping a photo?
Right. So dispatch documents actually require a double envelope system. The inner envelope's seams must be sealed with paper seals attached using passport glue.
Wait, passport glue? Specifically?
Specifically passport glue. They mandate it because if a foreign agent tries to steam the envelope open, that glue won't melt. It will actually tear the paper, making the tampering instantly obvious.
Oh, wow. That is so clever.
Yeah. And then they cover those seams with translucent tape so any interference underneath is totally visible.
That is intense. I was looking at the section on international transit, and I couldn't believe they dictate the exact centimeter dimensions for diplomatic bags.
Oh, yeah. The category A bag.
Right.
Yeah.
It has to have a specific 4x4 centimeter DIP label. How do they even move this stuff overseas? It feels almost paranoid.
Well, when you are moving state secrets through a chaotic public airport, you need a highly specific visual cue that absolutely cannot be counterfeited by an adversary. And the chain of custody is ironclad.
Meaning they can't just, like, check it with their luggage?
Far from it. These bags must be cleared to airports by cleared officials, never left unguarded in a vehicle, and absolutely cannot contain any private items like cash or gifts that might invite a random customs search.
Makes sense. Keep the customs agents away.
Exactly. And even the end of a document's life is strictly regulated. Destruction requires shredder strips no wider than 1.5 millimeters.
Wait, 1.5 millimeters?
Yeah, because anything larger mathematically leaves enough of a letter or word visible to be reconstructed by foreign intelligence.
So they're essentially turning paper into absolute dust?
Mm-hmm.
But frankly, you can have the best passport glue and the finest 1.5 millimeter shredders in the world, and it doesn't matter if the human carrying the envelope is compromised.
That is exactly the issue. The system is only as secure as the humans handling the paper.
Right. And looking at the rules for immigrants and dual citizens, the policy clearly recognizes that human weak point. I mean, a top secret clearance requires 20 years of consecutive residency, 15 of those as a citizen, and completely renouncing your former citizenship.
What's fascinating here is how the vetting protocol addresses that human vulnerability head on. The personnel screening isn't concerned with gender, religion, or political affiliation.
It's just about the risk.
Exactly. It is purely a mechanical assessment of a person's vulnerability to blackmail, bribery, or subversion. It is ruthlessly focused on identifying any compromising behavior or divided loyalty that a hostile element could exploit.
It really highlights the incredible rigor required to protect state secrets. I mean, every single rule, from the width of a shredded piece of paper to demanding someone give up their birth citizenship, is meticulously designed to eliminate the margin for error.
Yeah, it creates a virtually airtight physical security system.
But it leaves you with a final provocative thought to ponder.
Oh, what is that?
Well, in an era where a single invisible microchip can hold millions of pages, how do these intense physical security measures, you know, like double-sealed envelopes and steel trunks locked on trains, actually hold up against the silent, invisible threat of modern cyber espionage?
That is a really great question.
Something to think about the next time you see a supposedly boring administrative manual.